Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 78 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Samantha Morrill.
And I'm Ches Jenkins.
Do you think it will attract more and more people and other factories to this area because it'll be so close to it?
Rowan Judge Executive is one of several local and state officials praising the expected benefits of a new aluminum plant in Greenup County.
A $750 million project to widen and improve one of Kentucky's most traveled roads is complete.
And the Kentucky Department of Fish and Wildlife is gearing up for its annual spring auction.
In sports, the NFL draft begins tonight.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Mostly clear tonight with a slight chance of rain, lows around 50 degrees. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
First up this afternoon, Mayor Steve Gilmore says Ashland is poised to aggressively recruit new businesses with ties to the billion-dollar aluminum plant that will be built in South Shore next year. Gilmore says he talked with the head of Brady Industries about spin-off companies that could serve the Greenup County plant.
The CEO yesterday told me there are at least 16 companies he can name that draw to his construction here. And he said, you need to go after them. And so we know who they are. We want to get as many of them in the city limits of Ashland. But if we can get them in Boyd County and Greenup County nearby, that's people employed, that's families coming to our area.
Gilmore says even if those firms locate in neighboring communities, Ashland will see economic benefits.
Ashland City Commissioner Marty Gutz says it came 25 years late, but Wednesday's announcement that a new aluminum factory will locate in the region fulfilled one of his father's campaign pledges. Gutz's dad preceded him on the city commission in the 1990s and campaigned on industrial plants, jobs for our people. In the years that followed, the son says Ashland suffered the loss of thousands of manufacturing jobs, including his own at the old Armco steel plant. That's why, Gutz says, word of the new aluminum facility this week was so good to hear.
I wish he could have been there because he was real passionate about this area and, of course, grew up when all the smokestacks were around and Ashland and Armco and Cement Salvi were all just going great guns. And he would talk about the heyday. And then we started seeing a downward spiral and downsizing of some of our plants. And that was his promise when he ran, was to try to restore some of these.
Gutz says he's confident the new Brady Industries mill can trigger other investments in the Ashland area.
The decision by Brady Industries to construct an aluminum manufacturing plant in South Shore and hire 550 workers could not have come at a better time for Eastern Kentucky. That's according to State Representative Rocky Adkins. The Moorhead Democrat and House Minority Leader says it's an affirmation of the area's economic potential and the quality of its workforce.
You've got a prime location to build this facility with rail and with river. You've got a community that is a great community to build in. But the workforce, and in my opinion, at the end of the day, was the deciding factor on this plant being built here to be able to get that expertise that will be needed to make that quality product that he'll be making at this facility.
Adkins says the region really needs a boost after layoffs in the coal, steel, and rail industries.
Rowan's judge executive says Wednesday's announcement that Brady Industries will spend $1.3 billion to construct an aluminum plant in Greenup County could mean good things for his county. The new factory will be making parts for cars and airplanes and will reportedly need nearby companion plants to produce materials for it. According to Walter Blevins, he spoke yesterday with Brady CEO Craig Butchard about all the amenities Rowan County can provide to one of those types of facilities.
He was seemed interested in coming to Rowan County. I told him I'd like to have him come visit us. And I believe, and he told me, or someone did, that he had taken a look at the Space Science Center and was very impressed with that. So I think that's another reason he wants to come to Rowan County and look what we've got to offer as well.
Blevins says Rowan County's proximity to Greenup County and major highways, such as I-64, along with its industrial park off Kentucky 801, should also help make it attractive to plants that will provide parts and services to Brady Industries.
City Commissioner Amanda Clark says it's possible Ashland will have a new city manager by the end of May. No more applications for the post will be accepted after May 5th, and Clark says commissioners haven't had a chance yet to review the credentials of any new candidates for the job. She says recent applicants still have to be vetted.
We've not done any of that yet. I would assume that after it closes at our next meeting, we will go through and vet those and determine who we want to interview and move forward from there. So it would be the last meeting in May before we could name anyone.
Commissioners chose a new city manager earlier this month, but he ended up not accepting the job, so it was re-advertised.
An investigation President Trump has ordered into the potential threat to national security of imported steel is a step in the right direction. That's according to AK Steel's chief executive officer, Roger Newport. He says the U.S. government is right to pursue claims against countries that may be dumping steel unfairly on the domestic market, but there are larger issues too.
From our perspective, the national security implications of unchecked imports are very real, especially in the electrical steel market, where we are the sole U.S. supplier. Our grain-oriented electrical steels are critical to our national electric grid system.
Newport made his remarks at AK Steel's April conference call. The firm has production mills in six states, including its Ashland, Kentucky works.
Once the $750 million project to widen and improve the Mountain Parkway is completed, Magoffin County will be poised to make a large-scale economic recovery. That's the belief of Judge Executive Charles Doc Hardin. Hardin says the initiative is already creating a buzz and a sense of optimism about his county.
I've heard some regional business people and some state business people say Magoffin County is a place that you need to locate based on what's going on there in terms of development, based on the location. I think that Magoffin County is set to prosper. It will take us a bit of time to get our infrastructure in, and we want to attract the right businesses.
And Hardin says those are businesses that are in it for the long haul and won't leave at the drop of a hat. Magoffin County has Kentucky's highest unemployment rate at nearly 19%. However, Hardin feels certain that an improved Mountain Parkway will spark some significant economic investment in his area.
Motorists are being advised about some road work that's being done just north of the Rowan-Lewis County line. Alan Blair is a spokesman for the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet. Blair says crews will be repaving several miles of Kentucky 377.
You know, the work is basically includes removing the old blacktop and putting new blacktop down. And it does take some time to do. It is a mobile operation, so it kind of moves. But, you know, in our smaller rural routes, you know, it takes a little space to work out there with this equipment. So, you know, people will be seeing some delays and some one-lane traffic.
Blair says the work is already underway. It's expected to be completed by sometime next week, although weather conditions could change that timeline.
Tuition for Eastern Kentucky University is set to rise by 5% this fall, bringing in-state undergraduate tuition to $8,996 a year. The Lexington Herald Leader reports that the EKU Board of Regents approved the hike Monday, along with a 10% increase in housing costs and 3.5% increase in dining plan costs. EKU spokeswoman Christy Middleton says the rate increase corresponds with the declining amount of state funding. Kentucky's two-year state budget cut university funding by 4.5%, while EKU's state pension contribution has risen by between $12 million to $13 million in the past 2 years. The Council of Postsecondary Education set limits last month ranging from 3% to 5% on how much each public university could raise tuition.
A group in Augusta is in the process of saving one of the town's local landmarks. MSPR's Xavier Adkins reports.
A group of residents and others are interested in meeting to potentially create a nonprofit organization that will save Echo Hall, which is located on Frankfort Street. Echo Hall was originally a dormitory built for male students attending Augusta College. It was nearly destroyed after the 1997 Ohio River flood. Now, the group would like to restore the structure. The April 21st meeting will be held at 7:30 p.m., The citizens group is urging the public to get involved. They want to elect officers and set bylaws. A renovation timeline will also be decided. Reporting for Moorhead State Public Radio News, I'm Kenzie Thompson.
A Lexington councilwoman has been indicted on 5 felony charges. KNN's Suzanne Duvall has that story.
A grand jury indicted Sasha Love Higgins Tuesday on charges of identity theft, forgery, and 3 counts of theft by deception. Higgins allegedly stole the identity of an employee while she was the general manager of a Lexington hotel. Her attorney says she'll likely resign from the council but does plan to fight the charges. Higgins will be arraigned on May 5th.
Kentucky's senior senator believes President Trump's first 100 days in office have gone pretty well. Republican Mitch McConnell says he likes the more assertive foreign policy, including the missile strike on a Syrian airbase and the dropping of a bunker buster bomb in Afghanistan. The senator says he is not as enthusiastic about the president's tweeting habits.
But if you focus on what he's actually doing, I think he's doing exactly the right thing for the country.
McConnell was asked for an assessment of the 45th president's performance at a press conference in Washington.
Republican Senator Rand Paul took part in a classified briefing at the White House this week where North Korea was the topic of discussion. The Trump administration hosted the briefing for all 100 senators, where they discussed the various financial and military possibilities available to pressure North Korea into ending its nuclear program. Kentucky's junior senator says the possibility of military action in North Korea should come to Congress first.
You know, I think a lot of it is to send a very, very clear signal to North Korea that we're serious. And if there ever were a discussion of military intervention, it would and should come to Congress and be voted on.
Paul says he's opposed to military interference or a preemptive strike in North Korea. He says he is not hearing this from the administration.
People who have long-term protective orders can end their rental agreements with a 30-day notice to their landlord, thanks to a new Kentucky law. Mary O'Daugherty with the Kentucky Coalition Against Domestic Violence is thrilled that the legislature passed House Bill 309. She also likes that lawmakers replaced the state's outdated mandatory reporting law for spousal abuse with a new education-based approach.
We believe the old law was keeping survivors from seeking help. They were concerned that their abusers might find out that they had sought help.
The law also says information must be provided to victims about domestic violence and sexual assault programs and how to access protective orders.
The Alzheimer's Association of Greater Kentucky and Southern Indiana's annual report says the cost for treating those with Alzheimer's and dementia is at over $250 billion nationally for the first time ever. It notes that in Kentucky, there are over 80,000 people who suffer from Alzheimer's and dementia. Medicaid and Medicare spending to help care for those patients is expected to top $685 million this year. Chapter Executive Director Deanna Esslinger says there are also safety concerns in play for caregivers who are generally relatives and those who suffer from the ailments.
Making sure that someone doesn't leave the stove on, making sure someone doesn't wander, which is a characteristic of Alzheimer's disease, and escape the home. Make sure you don't leave the water on. All of the things that are generally day-to-day activities that most of us don't think about. A caregiver for a person with Alzheimer's disease must be on guard 24 hours a day.
For more information regarding the Alzheimer's Association, visit ALZ.org or call 1-800-272-3900.
Marshall University ceramics students are conducting an annual fundraiser this week to help feed needy families. The university says that the 14th annual Empty Bowls event will take place tomorrow at the First Presbyterian Church in Huntington. Marshall students and volunteers are making ceramic bowls to be purchased at the four-hour event. The bowls are $15 each and include a modest meal of soup and bread. The fundraiser will benefit the Facing Hunger Food Bank. Last year's event raised $17,000 for the food pantry, allowing it to provide 127,500 meals. The Facing Hunger Food Bank serves more than 115,000 people in 17 counties in West Virginia, Eastern Kentucky, and Southern Ohio.
Boats, motors, vehicles, weapons, and other items will be available at the Kentucky Department of Fish and Wildlife Resources spring public auction of surplus and confiscated items next week. A list of the items to be offered at the auction on Monday is available online. Bidding on surplus items is open to everyone, but under state law, only qualified Kentucky residents may bid on confiscated items. Viewing begins at 8 a.m. with bidding to start at 10 a.m. The auction will be held near the Salado Wildlife Education Center, located on the headquarters campus of Kentucky Fish and Wildlife Resources. The location is off U.S. 60 in Frankfort, approximately 1.5 miles west of the intersection with U.S. 127.
Looking at the weather tonight, partly cloudy, low of 49 degrees. Friday, partly cloudy skies, high of 83 degrees. Friday night, isolated thunderstorms in the evening, then mainly cloudy overnight with thunderstorms likely. A few storms may be severe, low of 66 degrees, chance of rain 80%. Saturday, mostly cloudy skies. A stray shower or thunderstorm is possible, high of 88 degrees. Saturday night, a few clouds, low of 67 degrees. Temperature for the listening areas, Ashland 78 degrees, Flemingsburg 75 degrees, Inez 74 degrees, Lexington 72 degrees, Winchester 74 degrees, and Moorhead, it's 78 degrees.
The time is 4:45. You're listening to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. on our feature segment this afternoon. After flooding in 2010 and the steady economic downfall of the Eastern Kentucky region, Greenup County is making a comeback. MSPR's Ashley Davidson has the story.
In a press conference Wednesday, Governor Matt Bevin and CEO of Brady Industries, Craig Bouchard, announced that the town of South Shore in Greenup County will be the site for a new aluminum plant. Governor Bevin credits the new right-to-work law as the reason South Shore was chosen as the site for the plant.
The first time I spoke with Craig was right after we passed right-to-work legislation, and he made clear that while this was a state they had originally considered, we would not have been the state they chose had we not passed this. He has, as he said, visited many places in this state and in others, and the bottom line is we are where we are today because of an amazing amount of effort and the work really that began by our legislature passing right-to-work legislation. It's as simple as that. It really is.
Ground is projected to be broken on the facility in early 2018, which will create 1,000 construction jobs. When the plant is up and running, 550 full-time jobs with an average salary of $70,000 per year will be available. The plant is scheduled to open in 2020. Governor Bevin is enthusiastic about the projections for the plant.
This is a facility that when it's up and operational in the first phase will produce 300,000 tons of high-quality aluminum a year, and that if in fact it continues to expand as is projected and as is hoped for and as is planned for, it'll ultimately move up to a capacity of half a million tons a year, 500,000 tons a year. That seems like a lot, and in fact, it is a lot.
All employees will be given 2 years' worth of training on how to operate inside the plant. Bouchard has been working with educators as well to train college students from the junior colleges and technical schools near Greenup for jobs at the plant. Bouchard has also spoken with Kentucky Power and American Electric Power about how to lower energy costs.
We have negotiated an efficient package with Kentucky Power and AEP because they wanted us in East Kentucky. And I believe that we will have the lowest energy cost of any rolling mill producing aluminum in the United States. The competitive advantage of that is spectacular.
House Minority Leader Rocky Adkins, a Democrat from Moorhead, gave his approval for the project as well, saying that the benefits encompass all of Eastern Kentucky. Well,
this is a tremendous day for, of course, Greenup County, but the entire region. The economic impact on our communities, the economic impact on providing quality jobs, in my opinion, will have a positive impact for generations to come.
For Moorhead State Public Radio News, I'm Ashley Davidson.
Time is 4:47. This is Mountain Edition at 90.3 FM. Braxton Howard has sports. He's coming up after this break.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop. A community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Good afternoon with Moorhead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The 2017 NFL Draft starts tonight at 8 o'clock in Philadelphia, and the Cincinnati Bengals are hoping to score some good talent for their roster. Head coach Marvin Lewis says the Bengals have done the prep work necessary to have a good draft.
I think the draft process has gone very well as far as the initial process and meeting with the players, the traveling by the scouts and coaches, and all the evaluation done. And, you know, really want to commend them and really, you know, everything that they have done.
During the draft, the Bengals will reportedly be looking for offensive linemen, linebackers, running backs, and wide receivers. Cleveland has the first overall selection in tonight's draft, followed by San Francisco, Chicago, Jacksonville, and Tennessee. While admitting it's still too early to tell for sure, a veteran member of the Moorhead State football team's defense believes his group will be better this fall. All-PFL defensive end Cope Briggs says the MSU defense had a great spring and should improve its numbers on last year when it allowed averages of 32 points and 446 yards per game.
I think we stand very well. A lot of guys, you know, might go roster to roster and see, you know, we're not as big as we once were. But we got guys who can move, and we have athletic players, and I feel like we're doing well. We're doing very well, and we're going to have a great season.
The Football Eagles start 2017 on August the 31st at home against Kentucky Christian. After Wednesday's signing of JUCO guard A.J. Hicks, Moorhead State basketball coach Preston Spradlin feels the Eagles' 2017 recruiting is on the right track. Spreadlin feels at this point MSU is moving in the right direction with its roster additions.
Yeah, absolutely. We're starting to put the finishing touches on this year's class. You know, we're going to end up signing 8 new players at some point here in the next couple weeks. We've signed 5 in the last 12 days, so we're real excited about where we're at, and we're going to be young, we're going to be talented, and we're going to be very versatile next year.
Including Hicks, Spreadlin's Eagles have already signed 4 signees in the books. A basketball player for Paul Lawrence Dunbar passed away yesterday. Star Efecho was at Dunbar High School participating in the team's open gym when he collapsed in the locker room and later died at the hospital. Dunbar head coach Scott Chalk says the situation has been challenging for all involved.
You know, I don't know if fears as much what they're dealing with right now is just the shock really is more what it is, you know, especially those kids that were actually in the gym. You know, it's a difficult thing for an adult to witness that kind of thing happen, especially for somebody who's 15 through 17. You're not really equipped for that. So,
Efecho was just 15 years old. Round 1 of the NBA playoffs continues tonight. First at 7, Toronto will look to win the series in Milwaukee when they take on the Bucks, and at 9:30, the Spurs will look to close out the series when they visit Memphis. The Morehead State baseball team will try to get back on track tomorrow at 5 p.m. when the Eagles open a 3-game weekend OVC series against Eastern Illinois. Even though the Panthers are just 7-11 in conference, Coach Mike McGuire says MSU can't take anything for granted against EIU as the Eagles look to end their 2-game losing streak.
You just can't take anybody for granted. You know, they played very well this weekend, swept Eastern Kentucky this weekend. So, you know, they're playing probably their best baseball of the year. So we're going to have to be ready and play well.
At 12-5 in conference, MSU is 3.5 games behind OVC leading Tennessee Tech. The Cincinnati Reds are taking today off as they get ready to start a 3-game series in St. Louis against the Cardinals tomorrow evening. The Reds will be looking to bounce back after allowing 29 runs and being swept by the Brewers in 3 games in Milwaukee. Manager Brian Price remains concerned about his young starting pitchers, saying they need to give the team more innings to give his relief corps a break.
It's not the Lorenz and Iglesias, Storen, and Wood guys that are Peralta that are necessarily going to get overtaxed. It'll be the length relievers. You know, it's going to be the need for that eighth pitcher. It's going to be Reed and Stevenson having to come back in and after 2 days off after a long outing and come back and do it again. And that's the part that I'm mostly concerned about.
In dropping 5 of their last 6 games, the Reds are now 10-12 this season. Some afternoon scores from around the MLB. Atlanta beat the Mets 7-5. Philly beat Miami 3-2. Toronto and St. Louis are tied at 4 in the 10th inning. Seattle and Detroit are locked at 1 in the 7th. Washington leads Colorado 3-2 in the 5th inning. And the Dodgers lead the Giants 1-0 in the 4th. And finally, in sports, after splitting 2 games with East Tennessee State yesterday, the Morehead State softball team is now preparing for a busy weekend at home. The Eagles have a doubleheader with Jacksonville State on Saturday starting at noon and a doubleheader with Tennessee Tech on Sunday. Head coach David Williams says all 4 games will be a challenge for his club.
You know, we're just going to play solid defense and hit the ball well. They're a good contact hitting team. They're going to put it in play. We need to be really solid on defense, strong communication, and make sure that we're getting outs and taking care of the ball. And then I think that's probably the biggest thing that we need to do as we head into this weekend is just kind of worry about the things that are going to make us successful.
The Eagles are 25-19 on the year, 5-9 in conference, and fighting for a spot in the conference tournament. That's it for sports for Morehead State Public Radio. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle Baseball welcomes Eastern Illinois for 3 games this weekend. Eagle Softball will host Jacksonville State for 2 games on Saturday and Tennessee Tech for 2 games on Sunday. More information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks closed higher within striking distance of all-time highs ahead of major tech company earnings, and the Dow Industrials did show a small gain of 6.24 at 20,981.33. The S&P 500 was up 1.32 at 2388.77, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 23.71, finishing at 6,048.94. Ahead of the opening, Comcast reported better than expected quarterly profit, and revenue also was above forecast, and shares were up nearly 4%. And in the NASDAQ, Comcast, PayPal, and Amazon.com were all among the biggest contributors to gains in the NASDAQ index. And, of course, after the close, Amazon did report earnings which were better than expected, and the stock was up very sharply in after-hours trading. U.S. crude oil futures for June delivery hit their lowest level since March 29th, settling at $48.97 a barrel, and that was down 1.3% on the day. And as a result, the energy stocks were your worst performers among different S&P 500 sectors. In addition, Amazon, Alphabet, which is the parent for Google, Intel, Microsoft, and Starbucks are among companies set to report earnings. Durable goods orders rose a less than expected 0.7% in March, and weekly jobless claims increased more than expected to 257,000. Pending home sales fell 0.8% in the month of March. In Europe, the ECB kept its benchmark interest rate at zero and monetary policy unchanged, as the ECB President Draghi said in an opening statement that net asset purchases at a new monthly pace of 60 billion euros would run until the end of December of this year or beyond if necessary. In response, bond rates were mostly lower as bond prices went up, and the benchmark 10-year treasury finished just below 2.3%. Gold futures for June delivery climbed $1.90, finishing at $1,266 an ounce. And among Dow Industrial stocks, your best performers were Intel and Home Depot, and the worst performers were Caterpillar and DuPont. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Under Armour and Intuit, and the worst performers were Teradata and F5 Networks. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down $1.12 at $123.71, CSX up 46 cents at $51.25, AEP up 42 cents at $68.11, AK Steel up a penny at $6.46, Marathon Petroleum up $1.43 at $51.03, and Anthem was down 78 cents to finish at $178.25. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for programming on Moorhead State Public Radio is provided by Donate Life Kentucky. By joining Kentucky's Organ Donor Registry when renewing your driver's license, you can help 1,000 Kentucky children and adults who are waiting for a life-saving transplant. Anyone can register as an organ donor, no matter your age. More information is online at trustforlife.org.
Looking at the weather tonight, partly cloudy, low of 49 degrees. Friday, partly cloudy skies, high of 83 degrees. Friday night, isolated thunderstorms in the evening, then mainly cloudy overnight with thunderstorms likely. Few storms may be severe, low of 66 degrees, chance of rain 80%. Saturday, mostly cloudy skies, a stray shower or a thunderstorm is possible, high of 88 degrees. Saturday night, a few clouds, low of 67 degrees. Sunday, some sun in the morning with increasing clouds during the afternoon. A stray shower or a thunderstorm is possible, high of 86 degrees. Sunday night, partly cloudy skies early will give way to occasional showers later during the night. Thunder possible, low of 66 degrees, chance of rain 40%. Monday, rain early, a mix of sun and clouds in the afternoon. Thunder possible, high of 72 degrees, chance of rain 80%. And in Moorhead, it is 78 degrees.
And that's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from MSPR staff Chuck Mraz, Dan Conti, Braxton Howard, Sean Delaney, Ashley Davidson, Xavier Adkins, and Kenzie Thompson, Victoria Agee, and Holly McClurkin. From the Kentucky News Network, Suzanne Duvall. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Chaz Jenkins and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Samantha Morrill for Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.